I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 4. We are still continuing our series on the kingdom of God, and I didn't put it up on the screen this morning, but our series text is out of Acts chapter 1, where we're told that for the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus spent much time with the disciples, and he taught them concerning the kingdom of God. And again, let me remind you, the kingdom of God is not a place. It's not a palace. It's not a land. As much as we think of kingdom in that term, those terms, it's not what it is. The kingdom of God, Jesus and John the Baptist both started out their ministries by saying, repent. For the kingdom of God is near you. It is at hand. It's within our grasp. Here's one of the things I didn't say yet about the kingdom of God that we sometimes battle with. We live within the tension of the kingdom of God is near and yet it's not yet. It's here and yet it's yet to come. It's present and yet it's future. We can be a part of it and participate in the kingdom of God in the here and now, but we cannot participate in it fully until that day when the trumpet sounds and we are ushered into his presence. Amen. We should constantly, if we're serving God faithfully, we will constantly be feeling this tension between I'm in the kingdom, but yet not totally in the kingdom. And it's not because you're not wanting to be in the kingdom totally. It's just that it has not fully developed because it will not be completely our possession. It will not be completely available to us as long as we're in this life. But we live within it as much as possible, asking him every day to take us at least one step further into his kingdom. And his kingdom is about letting him have reign and rule over every aspect of your life. And how many of you know that's hard? The thing of it is, I want you to picture your life. Terry, you have a good imagination? Sometimes we'll put on your imagination cap, okay? Picture your life as this throne room, and in that room, the only thing that's there is a throne that sits at the top of a set of stairs. And each and every day, you and I have to decide who gets to walk up those stairs and be seated on that throne? And you say, well, Pastor, shouldn't it be a one and done deal? Shouldn't I just make the decision once and that's it? Well, that would be nice if we were perfect. But we're not. The reality of it is our life is such that every day when we awaken, that throne is vacated momentarily, and we have to make the decision who will ascend those stairs and sit on that throne, me or him? Me or him? The problem is, so many times we give lip service to saying, well, it's going to be him, when in reality, we're up there trying to squeeze our way into the seat with him. This is going to be very, very poor grammar. How'd you do in English? How are your English grades? Yeah. Where's that other young lady back there? How is your English grades, Cheyenne? Okay, a B's good. Excuse my poor grammar. I know better. How are you doing in English? A's. Well, excuse my poor grammar. I'm going to say this incorrectly, but I'm doing it on purpose. There ain't no room for two of you on the throne.
Who said ain't a word?
Yeah, ain't a word. It is not in the Bible. It's only in the dictionary as a compromise. There's not room on the throne of your life for more than one to sit there. And I've got news for you. When that throne was formed, it was not formed with your backside in mind. It just doesn't fit. I can prove it. How many of you have tried to run your own life and wound up in a mess? That's because you were putting your backside on the throne of your life and the seat wasn't meant for you. The only way that our life is going to be what it should be is when every day we get up and every day we make the conscious decision, God, I'm not going to climb those steps to sit on the throne of my life today. It's all yours. And then the rest of the day, stay put where he puts you. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 23 is not really a parable in the same sense of some of the others we're looking at. In all honesty, it's something that Jesus shares with the disciples after he has explained the parable of the sower and the seeds, which we looked at 2 weeks ago. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 23. And Jesus said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl?" Some of you, the older versions, it says bushel. That's a type of basket. I like that translation better than the bowl, actually. It says, "Do you bring a lamp and put it under a bushel or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me give you a little background here, let's back up. Jesus oftentimes did not, or at least it's not recorded, very seldom did Jesus take time to explain his parables. But for some reason, the parable of the sower and the seed, and if you don't remember much about that one, you need to get on the church website, and by Tuesday, the last 2 weeks' sermons will definitely be on the church website. You can listen to them. Jesus talks to them about the sower of the seed. And just to remind you, the sower is Christ himself, and the seed is his word. And he scatters it on all the different types of soil. And he talks about what happens to the seed based on the soil type. And the disciples come to him and they say, "You know, we don't get it." How many of you ever read something in the Word of God and you kind of scratched your head and said, I don't get it? You know what? It's okay. I still read things in the Word of God, and I'm sitting here going, I don't get it. That's why I thank God for other great men and women of God that have studied and gained insight and written it down in study books and study Bibles and commentaries. Because how many of you know no one person can know everything there is to know and understand about the Word of God? If that were the case, some of us could have stopped going to church a long time ago because we would have already learned it all. But we haven't. So Jesus gets his disciples off to the side and he explains to them the parable. Then he sits them down, and after he's explained the parable, he says this to them. Just what we read here. He says, "Do you bring a lamp in and put it under a bushel or a bed?" How many of you grew up with the little song in Sunday school? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Do you realize there's a verse in that song that says, "Hide it under a bushel"? No, I'm going to let it shine. You know, there's something that I've missed. I've been hearing that song and reading this scripture since I was little tiny, as young as Jesse or younger. And you know what? I've always missed the point that Jesus says, "Would you put it under a bushel or a bed?" Read your text.
Well, I didn't hear what you said.
Jesus says, "Would you hide that lamp under a bushel or a bed?" I've always missed the part about the bed.
Yeah.
We're going to find out today that that's a very important part of that passage. Now, I'll warn you today, today's one of those days, I don't have any notes. I didn't feel like writing notes. All I have is what's on the slides to guide me. Let's go to the next one. Let's talk about this a minute. The bushel or the basket would have spoken to those people, therefore it speaks to us of our business life, of our job, of our work day. Jesus says to them, I've just given you light of the gospel. I've just given you knowledge of what the parable means. Now you have something to go forth and teach. You have something to go forth into the darkness of this wicked world and shine light. He says, but are you going to let your work day hide it? Can I tell you, I've heard this for many years. I've witnessed this. I had a coworker years ago that was a great example of this. How many of us claim to have the light of the gospel to shine into the darkness of this world, but the minute we get on the job, we hide it? Now, let me explain something. I do not believe it is your place when you go to the job. I do not believe it is proper for you to walk in with your big, giant Bible tucked under your arm and you be going around stealing from your employer, spending time trying to preach and witness to people. When I worked for the Leeds Hill Herkenhoff engineering firm, I was there to work on drawings, to size ductwork, to size piping, to do layouts, and to coordinate with architects and other engineers. I was not there to preach, even though I was also on staff as a youth minister at the time. If I had walked around with my Bible under my arms, preaching to people, I can tell you right now, Phil Herkenhoff would have called me into his office and said, if you keep doing this, there's the door. In fact, he probably would not have even given me much of a chance because he was quick to, if you were wasting his money and time, he was quick to show you the door. And you know what? He had a right to do that because we are not hired onto that job to preach. We're hired to do our work. And the greatest way you can let your light shine is by being the most industrious worker there. If you're paid to work from 8 to 5, you need to work from 8 to 5. I've had a lot of people through the years say that, frankly, Christians make some of the worst workers they could ever hire. That Christians can be some of the laziest people. And you know what leads to some of that? Is because we get into the business world and we tend to either hide our light or we want to walk in and act like our job is to share the gospel in the workplace. You know how you share the gospel in the workplace? By doing your work, by being honest, by being a man or woman of integrity. Amen. Now, there's also those, there's a story I heard years ago. Young man was just high school age. He got a job working in the logging camps. And he was a good Christian young man. And his mama was concerned because them loggers are known to be pretty wild characters at times. Especially the ones in the camp he was going to work at. She was so concerned about her baby boy. She prayed for him every day. She said, I hope they don't harass him too much when they find out he's a Christian. So finally one day she wrote him a letter. This is back in the days before cell phones and easy access to telephones. She wrote him a letter. At the end of the letter she said, son, I've been praying for you. I really hope they're not giving you too much of a hassle about your faith and you being a Christian. He wrote his mama back, and at the end of his letter, he says, oh, by the way, mama, they're not harassing me about being a Christian. I don't even think they know. You see, he'd hid his light too much. You see, we need to let the light that God has put in us shine wherever we're at, but do it in the right way. Here's one of the problems. We in the 21st century, we're all about what when it comes to lights and lamps. We want what? Extra bright. I mean, how many of you have seen the commercials now for all of these wild flashlights, lanterns, LED, can be seen 2 miles away. Let's really think about what Jesus was talking about here. When he's talking about a lamp, the normal house, he's talking about a little clay bowl with a little oil in it and a wick, and they would light that. Just enough light to barely illuminate a small room. But Jesus says, if I give you that much light, are you going to hide it under a bushel? Are you going to hide it from people? Are you going to let your business life, are you going to let the workaday world cause you to not be that light shining in the darkness? I just thought of this. What's another characteristic of light? Is light noisy or quiet? What? Fire can snap, but for the most part, light's quiet. You know what Jesus needs in most workplaces today? He needs some quiet lights that are going to just shine just a little bit into the darkness, not blinding people. Just enough light to attract them. I wish we had a way to darken this room. I've done this before in places where the last church I pastored, there were no windows in the sanctuary at all, totally dark. You turned out the lights, I mean, it was dark. In that dark room, you know, it's amazing how much one little match can illuminate. If I walked into that dark room and I've got a flashlight on my desk I was recently given, it's got like one big LED and another one that's soft light. And Tommy, I'll tell you what, that thing, you accidentally turn it towards your eyes, it's going to explode, like you said. It's going to be, your brain's going to. If I could darken this room completely, and I took that bright LED and I turned it on, most of you would sit here and go, ah, turn it off. It's too much. But if I took and I lit that match and lit one little candle, most of you are going to be drawn to it. In the work world today, Jesus Christ needs soft, quiet, consistent lights that will draw people to him. But here's the part of that I always missed. And Treva, I don't think there's a verse of that little kid's song that talks about hiding it under the bed. I've read this scripture hundreds of times. I totally missed that. In fact, when I started to read it for this sermon, I missed it till I opened up some commentaries and one commentator pointed this out. And I went back and I went, it does say bed. The bed speaks of two things. It speaks of our leisure time. You know, we are really good as Americans, especially in the 20th and now 21st century. We're really good about wanting to have our life full of compartments. All right, this is my school compartment, and I do school things only in the school compartment. And this is my work compartment, and I do things, work things in my work compartment. And this is my church compartment, and I do church things here. And this is my leisure, and I do leisure things here. And we want to, can I just tell you, as followers of Christ, we should not have our life divided up into compartments. Because the problem is, when we start to compartmentalize our lives, we start wanting to put Jesus in only certain parts of it and leave him out of others. I want you to think about what you do with your leisure time, your recreational time, your downtime, your rest time. Answer this question to yourself honestly. Is everything I do in my leisure time, would I be comfortable doing it if Jesus was standing right beside me and everyone could see him? I want you to think about that a minute. Jesus says, are you going to allow your leisure time to hide the light of the gospel that's in you? This commentator made another point of it. He said that also the bed also speaks to our times of laziness. Are there those times when we know we should be letting the light shine, but we just get lazy? I'm just too tired. Oh, Lord. Lord, please don't let that person show up right now. I'm just too tired to deal with them. You ever felt that way? Yeah, we all do. Friends, do you understand that when the light of God's gospel is put in our lives and he ignites it, he wants it to be an eternal flame. There's no on-off switch. He doesn't want you turning it on and off at your convenience. He doesn't want us turning it on and off just when we feel like having it on and turning it off. He says, are you going to hide it? No, go back to our text and look what he says. He says, no. He says, what you need to do. Oh, I put my Bible down here. Look what he says. Instead, he asks the question, don't you put the lamp on the stand? What happens when you take a lamp and you put it on a lampstand? What happens? It illuminates further out. It does its job better. You know, if I had a candle in here, if I put that candle down on the floor, how much of the room is going to be illuminated? Just a little circle on the floor. But the higher I raise that candle, what happens? The more that the light will help, the more people impacted by it. Friends, let me tell you, we need to be praying, saying, God, help me be a lamp that you elevate onto a lampstand. Not so people see me, but so that the light of you that's in me will attract people.
Amen.
Verse 22, he says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. The light of the gospel has two purposes. One, it is meant to attract people to him. And two, it is to dispel the darkness. The kingdom of God is always to be a light shining in the darkness. Go to the last slide. I want you to think about this. Light always dispels darkness. Darkness never dispels light. When you walk into your house after you've been gone for a while and you come in at night, what is the first thing you do? You turn on the light, and it dispels the
darkness.
How many of you have ever walked in the middle of the day, opened the door, and looked at somebody and said, turn on the dark? How many of you have dark switches? We all have light switches. If you want to make it dark, does the darkness drive out the light? No. You have to remove the light. Can I tell you, God is putting some of us in places that are very dark. And he needs us to be the light. During the day, while we're going about our business on the job or at school or whatever it might be, he needs us to just be not that blinding light. Oh, I tell you, I have dealt with people, they tried to be a spotlight. Growing up in Berlin, some of you might remember this. When there'd be a new store opening, how many of you, I don't know, did they do this in Clayton years ago? When a new store would go to open and they would rent a big spotlight and have it circling around through the night sky? Huh? San Antonio did. Even in my town of Berlin, a little bigger than Clayton, once in a while there would be something special and they'd rent a big spotlight, big blue spotlight. Unfortunately, it didn't have the Batman symbol or anything. It was just light. And you knew that something special was going on. Can I tell you, Jesus isn't calling us to be spotlights. He's calling us to be a lamp. A small lamp that will illuminate. Whether it's in business, leisure, rest, wherever we're at, every time of the day, every time of the night, wherever we're at, he just wants us to be a lamp. Like I said, I've run into people that tried to be spotlights. Oh, Lord. I think of the coworker. He would try to come on strong like a spotlight. He'd get in people's faces about the way they were living and what they were doing. The problem is then he would turn right around 10 minutes later and be telling them the dirtiest, nastiest joke they'd ever heard. I remember the guys, how many of you have ever worked downtown of a big city? I worked downtown Albuquerque for years, and every once in a while there would be those guys. They'd be out there with their big Bibles, Patricia. And there was a big area that had, where two or three streets had been closed off. It was just a big, giant, I want to say that's a plaza area. And they'd be jumping up on the planters and the benches and having that Bible, and they'd be screaming, "You're going to hell!" I mean, and just going nuts. Excuse me. Can I tell you, I never once, in all those times, of them being a overly bright spotlight, never once did I see anybody stop and say, "I feel convicted of my sin. Will you pray for me?" But I have seen those people who just very quietly went about their day letting their light shine like a candle. Have people come and say, "Can you pray for me?" The kingdom of God is like an oil lamp or a candle burning consistently to dispel the darkness and to draw people to Christ because of its comfort. So the question you and I need to be asking ourselves this morning is simply this. Number one, am I being the right kind of light? Am I hiding my light under a bushel or under a bed? Or am I letting Jesus Christ put me on a lampstand wherever I'm at so that people do not see me, but they see Him because they're drawn to that light? What kind of light are you today? What kind of light do you want to be? I think it's a question we all need to ask. I think it's something we need to make it a determination that every day when we give Jesus Christ the permission to sit on the throne of our life, that at the same time we ask Him to take and light us and make us the light He wants us to be for that day and to put us on the lampstand He wants us to be on that day. Georgia, that's one of the things. You don't always get to choose where you're going to dispel the darkness. That's up to Him. So what kind of light are you today? Are you ready to be the light He wants you to be, no matter where it is and what it is? If you're ready to start shining better than you've ever shined before, would you stand with me? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel or a bed? No. I'm going to let it shine. You know, this morning, the words of that little song might be the most sincere prayer you can pray right now. Georgia, will you pray for us this morning? Pray that we'll be the light we're supposed to be and dismiss us from this building, from His presence.
Now, Lord, we ask that you place us where we can be the light that will shine and draw those to you, that let them see you. Lord, now we ask that you be with each and every one of us.